So the one question I have for Rodney and Mark and Dennis, do you get any less nervous when you get up here before you preach? Because out of all the times I've been up here, I still get this feeling of nervousness in my human self. So I just always here. But anyway, growing up in my church, on Monday nights, we did visitation and evangelism as a ministry. We would go on planned visits to people or of people who had visited our church, were shut-ins, or maybe people that we had not seen in a while. If no one was scheduled for us to visit that night, we had an assigned street that we would go door to door and ask questions of our neighbors of how we could better serve our community. The evangelism side of this came through a presentation called Faith, F-A-I-T-H. Stands for forgiveness. It's available. It's impossible for God to allow us into heaven. You have to turn from your sins, and the reward is heaven. Here I was at 17 years old, leading a team of three to visit people. One of my team members had suggested that since we didn't have any assigned place to go that night, we should visit this one of our newer members at church to see how they were doing. We all agreed, and we went. We arrived, and she wasn't home, but her significant other was. We introduced ourselves, and he welcomed us in, and we talked for a while. One of the things that we always did was have someone in our group practice our faith presentation with anyone we visited. I asked if we could practice with him, and he agreed. Here I am, scared out of my mind, since I not personally had done this with anyone besides one of my team members. I swallowed a lump in my throat and started. F is for faith. Here we go. Off to a great start. I can't even get the first word correct. I continue and go on through the whole presentation and ask if the man would like to receive this free gift. He replies, yes. My jaw must have been on the ground. How is this possible? I thought I was just practicing. Didn't this man already know Jesus? I swallowed again, and we led him to the Lord. The rest of that night, I was floating on the clouds. I gave a report that night, and we all rejoiced. I remember saying, I don't know how that happened. I didn't even present it correctly. I was greeted by my pastor telling me, I know how. The Holy Spirit used you even though you didn't think you were ready. I knew from that day on, one of the greatest ways the Spirit works through you is that he allows you to be bold, because he will speak for you even when you don't have the words to say. Please stand for the reading of God's word. If you want to turn it to Luke chapter 9, actually, you know what? Turn it to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read two verses in 9, and then we're going to jump ahead to chapter 10. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. And then starting in chapter 10, verses 1 through 11, then 17 through 23. Now after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them in pairs ahead of them to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you, and heal those who are sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you, but whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. And then jumping to 17. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. At this very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to the infants. Yes, Father, for this way I was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by the Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Turning to the disciples, he said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings wished to see the things which you see and did not see them, and to hear the things which you hear and did not hear them. May God add the blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Jesus gives us the authority to be bold. Thinking back on that night, the first time I shared my faith message, I can sort of relate to how nervous the 72 must have been to go to new places, to knock on doors and talk about Jesus. But for them, Jesus himself chose them and sent them. Talk about pressure. Jesus first sends out the 12 disciples in chapter 9 to prepare the way for him, to heal the sick and to announce the coming kingdom in the cities he would soon travel to. He then turns and does this again in chapter 10. This time, he makes the distinction of 72 others. 72 different people than the original 12. I searched for why Jesus sent out 72. There is no biblical reason that I can find as to why the number, that is the number. Though there are a couple of theories. One that I find very fitting to the life of ministering Christ. Jesus originally called the 12 disciples. Now he brings 72 more. If each of the 12 were to train the other 72 in the mission and teachings of Jesus, it splits into 12 groups of six. This very well may have been the first recorded discipleship training. Maybe not. But either way, Jesus saw fit to commission 72 and sends them out. He gives them very clear instructions. Carry no money belt, no bags, no shoes. Greet no one on the way. No shoes likely meant not to carry extra shoes. Sure, they're allowed to carry the shoes and wear the shoes on their feet. His point was to go out carrying nothing extra. You were to rely on the peace and generosity of others. Go and say to the person of the house, peace to this house. If in fact it was a man of peace, then you can stay. If not, leave and your peace will return to you. In other words, you were to find a home with someone of like mind. Jesus wanted them to trust and find somewhere to stay that they would be safe and cared for. If this was not going to happen, just leave and go find somewhere else. He also sets the expectation of being a good guest, like eat what is put in front of you. Sometimes I wish my children would understand this concept. Anything they offer to you, eat and drink. Take it. This is your payment for what you're doing, that you are worthy of receiving it. Don't go anywhere else. Your welcome will not be worn out. However, if they do not receive you, leave. One of my favorite illustrations in Scripture is found here. If they do not receive you, then they are not worthy of carrying their dust on your sandals. He still goes on to make sure lets them know the kingdom of God is still at hand. But go. Now we know that doesn't mean they shouldn't be told about the coming kingdom. Jesus knew his time was limited, and he needed to prepare the cities he was going to and not spend time where he would not be welcomed. This allowed them to be bold. As they knew if they were rejected, they didn't have to stay and listen to the rejection. They can move on and continue to the next place. In the same way, we can be bold without fear of rejection, because the Spirit is with us. The Spirit fills in the gaps and gives us the words we cannot say, just the way it happened to me at 17 years old. Jesus gives us the authority to resist evil. When the 72 returned to give their report, they were amazed that over everything else, even the demons obeyed them. This was amazing to them because they never thought they would have this kind of power. We also need to be reminded that we have that same kind of power in us. Scripture shows us multiple times how people commissioned by Jesus had this power. Acts 16, 16 through 18 says, Paul, after becoming greatly annoyed, turned to the Spirit and said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it did. Mark 16, 17, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. James 4, 7, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Ephesians 6, 16, in addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. God takes care of us in ways that we can never imagine. He loves us enough to make sure that in every situation we are taken care of, that there is thought and preparedness for any situation we are placed into. He is not the stereotypical used car salesman that may sell you a car with no windshield and call it a unique feature and charge you an extra $500 for it. Jesus gives authority over evil in our lives. We have the tools that we need to resist sin and evil. We have to use them. Jesus gave this authority to the disciples and to the 72 others. Through the Spirit, we receive the same authority. In Romans, Paul paints this picture for us, that because we were crucified in the likeness of Christ, then we are also alike in his resurrection. We are changed, and we are powerful, and we are holy. Jesus gives us the authority over death. After the 72 were rejoicing about the authority over demons, Jesus tells them not to rejoice in that, but to rejoice in the fact that your names are recorded in heaven. You see, that's the point of this message. It's the point of the whole gospel. Even through all this, the disciples still did not understand the message that was given to them. They were able to do all these acts and wonders and were mesmerized by it, finding great joy. And Jesus brings them back down to earth by saying, it's because your names are recorded in heaven. The authority that Jesus gave to them is the same authority that he has given to us. You see, in John chapter 16, Jesus points to them that they will be better off when he goes away, that then the Helper, or the Holy Spirit, will come. When the Helper comes, the authority that Jesus gave to them will be with them forever. Likewise, the authority will be with you and me forever. Through faith and salvation, we have received the Holy Spirit, the Helper, and have been given such authority. We have been given the authority over death because no longer are the wages of our sin death, but instead we have the gift of eternal life through the death and resurrection of Christ. The best news is that the same gift is still offered today to everyone. Jesus' call wasn't just to those around him that day. That is why he sent 12, then sent 72. Then after his resurrection, and before he leaves again, he proclaims that all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. He has given us authority to be bold, to resist evil, and to proclaim his name to others. My challenge to you today is to not only go out and do these things, but to share with excitement the ways the Lord has prepared you, just as the 12 did, just as the 72 did, just as 17-year-old me did. When God is for you, who then can be against you? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day you've provided for us. We thank you for the rain, the sun, but most off, we thank you for your Son. We thank you that your Son came, Lord, to proclaim who you are and to teach us how to live for you. We thank you that when he left, you then gave us the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we may be bold, that we be assured, Lord, that we can resist evil, and Lord, that we can have authority over death through resurrection again with you in heaven. Lord, we ask that when we go out, as we go out through these doors, Lord, we go out prepared to serve, prepared to show others this, to teach others this, and make disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.